We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's OMF on EEI.
Maybe you should play with us.
That sounds bad.
With Lou Merlone.
Thank you very much. I am an all-star.
Christian Fourier.
Talk about how pimp I am.
And Glenn Ordway.
I'm a big deal.
The Red Sox went from a dismal start to looking very good and, dare I say, likable. The Celtics have heard your critiques and are not happy about it. Do the Bruins have a goaltender controversy? We talk to The Athletic's Dane Brugler at 3 about the NFL draft. Nick Fitzy Stevens is in for Lou. Now it's time for OMF.
You know, when Ordway goes to Popeye's, they say, what can we get you, sir? He just goes, load him up.
On EEI.
I like Popeye's. Have you ever tried that? Have you ever
sandwich? I don't know, but that sandwich is really good. That chicken sandwich. Really good.
So wait, Glenn, were you the guy who first shot somebody at a Popeye's to get a hold of that chicken sandwich back when we were going through that craze?
No, but I would. I would have if I had to, because it's damn good.
No, it was, McDonald's has a chicken sandwich that is just, no, that's not true. It is awesome to be. Nope. Or maybe because my expectations are so low for McDonald's. Right. That I said, hey, let me try it. And I was like, wow, I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I was pleasantly disappointed. That's what I was.
You think McDonald's is like, Popeyes has had enough of me?
You get your Chick-fil-A and you get your Popeyes, and they're both really good.
Yeah. But the big problem is Chick-fil-A, A, not open on Sundays. I understand the principle behind it, but I don't abide by the policy. And B, they're too far and few between. I'm not driving 45 minutes out of my way.
So is Popeyes.
There are more Popeyes that are far more accessible.
I'm not sure about that.
And so is In-N-Out.
In-N-Out refuses to build a burger shack like more than 100 miles away from their cows.
They're building them in Vegas and Arizona now. They're all over the place. Hey, what's up, Fitzy?
How are you?
How about this? This is a rare 4-hour OMF show today. I mean, this is rare.
Rare that we, that how is it rare?
That we have 4 hours.
Oh, I know.
Over did the you next miss the week. Part where he just said it's a full OMF?
Yeah.
I think next week we have like 15-minute shows or 5-minute shows or something like that.
No, that's next week.
I thought you were going to say, Fitzy. Oh, it's great to see you too. Oh, I thought you were going to say, rare is it that I'm sober when I'm on the air with you guys?
You know, I didn't want to bring it up, but since you brought it up, you know, if you want to start drinking like at 3:30, that's Fourier starts at 4 on a Friday. It's his favorite day of the week. He loves Friday. Starts drinking about 4.
Yeah.
At least he did when he was at home. Now that he's in the studio, he can't take
You can't approve that, by the way. But,
That TGIF, that gigantic inebriated Fourier.
Yeah.
I get it. And you know what? He should. And you know, Christian lives life, and he lives life out loud. He lives an apology-free life, Ordway, and that's a beautiful thing. I'm actually on the air more than you guys over the next 2 weeks. I apologize, audience, because of this crazy Red Sox schedule. What's up with them playing Minnesota 4 straight day games next week?
I don't get it. I mean, it's early in April, and so they're looking at the cold weather or whatever. Then start the season later. Start the season on April 15th or whatever. They do it every year, and they don't schedule the games, you know, indoors where you could do some of it. You can't do it in Toronto right now because they can't, you know, nobody can go back to Canada, apparently. But how about those Red Sox? Woo! 4 in a row. And they got a couple more here this weekend with Baltimore.
So this is going to be the debate moving forward. The debate or the discussion, maybe that's what it is just how much you enjoy watching this team, how gutsy they are, how tough they are.
More enjoyable than they were in the first 3 games.
I tell you what, that really kind of, you know, that was kind of a gut punch, really, when you think about it, for whatever your expectations were, you really were just kind of, you know, knocked to the ground for a second based on, listen, you knew it was going to be tough, but you didn't think that the Baltimore Orioles were going to sit there and sweep you. And then the last game put 11 on you. So, and then you thought you would get just killed by the Rays based on the fact that they're one of the better teams in the division. You go ahead and sweep them, and then you get a little bit redemption, a little bit revenge from a guy who starts who hasn't pitched in over a year.
That's right. The Red Sox. Have we also learned nothing, by the way, from 2004? That you can lose three games in a row and you can come back and you can win four and reset recalibrated expectations. Whoa. Ye of little faith. Are the Fenway faithful, I ask you, Big O?
You want to look at the talent level of the 2004 Red Sox versus the 2021 Red Sox. There's no comparison.
Well, I know that.
If you want to go to 213, maybe you got a better argument there, but no way. Hey, listen, I haven't changed my mind on them. I didn't change my mind after they dropped the first three. I did believe you needed to win 8 of the first 10 and set it against the Baltimore Orioles. You get them for 10 games in the first 5 weeks, and maybe they've figured out the Orioles. I don't know. They're a 500 team, but they're more enjoyable than they were after the first three.
So why are they just more enjoyable? Because they're hitting? I mean, really, because that's what makes baseball fun, because they're playing well.
It's several things, Christian. Number one, they have so far on the season won more games than they've lost. So winning heals everything. Number two, they are coming from behind, like in that game the other night where they went to 11 innings.
They didn't do that last year.
They're not a single lick. There is fight in this team, Christian. And number three, speaking of Christians, there are likable characters who are having fun, and thereby, by proxy, we're having fun watching them. Did anybody were there any extra inning heroics like there were with the Vasquez home runs? Did anyone push anyone else in a laundry cart last year and have a laugh in the dugout?
They did that last year.
Well, did anyone notice?
Nobody was watching.
Well, because they were watching, but they were doing that.
I think you take last year and just throw every single game, throw everything out. Forget about it. Nothing was fun about last year.
But I wouldn't get carried away and think that they're suddenly going to be, you know, playoff contenders here. No. I mean, we've seen this with Vasquez before. He, you know, hits well for a while, and then because he plays a position that wears you out, he gets worn out. But, and J.D. Martinez, did anybody not think he was going to hit this year? I mean, come on. Last year, he wasn't prepared for the season. He wasn't ready for it. This year, he finally woke up and said, oh, I got to do something.
I think the difference this year, I think what's interesting this year is that you have, even like when Mookie and Xander were coming up, you were starting to get excited about, you know, the opportunities of how this team would look with younger players. So Whitlock is one of them. Tanner Houck is another one. Just to name a few.
Nick Pivetta.
And then you sit there and go, wow, if these guys, they're all progressing and they're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, and they're building up some consistency, and you can start to rely on them. And so I can easily see how with the onslaught of runs, which I think is really the most, which is, you know, the guys hitting the ball, that's the most entertaining thing, you know, and some feel-good stories like E-Rod.
J.D. Drew, what is he? J.D. Drew, he's still healing somewhere. Wow. He's still taking his victory lap over that 2007 ALCS Grand Slam over the Indians. J.D. Martinez, obviously leading the league in extra base hits. That's fantastic. Raffy Devers, I think Ordway would probably play third better at this point, but you know what? At the same time, that home run hasn't landed from yesterday. That kid can hit it to the moon and back. And then when you look at some of these other feel-good stories, like E-Rod, who didn't pitch a game last year because he develops this coronary condition as a side effect of COVID, comes back, and in his first game, okay, only 5 innings, 2 dingers allowed, but 7 strikeouts.
No walks. Didn't walk one person.
He put the ball over the plate time and time and time again. These are beautiful things. Again, I tell you, Glenn, I'm not looking for them. Yeah, I say in jest 2004 because, you know, why not go back to the good old days, pre-86 years?
The team was loaded.
Yeah, they were. Of course, they were. Like me when I'm usually on with you guys, fully loaded. However, all this team needs to do is be watchable and be likable.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I think the first three kind of disappointed a lot of people who suddenly said, oh my God, this is going to be a dismal start. We talked about it last week, Christian, or 2 weeks ago. They have to get off to a good start just so that people are engaged with this team right now.
Well, I would say that it's actually going better than expected because you did stumble. You did kind of stink it up. And then you made amends. And
I think I'd like to see a larger sample.
No, I know, but you know, based on how quickly it's 162 games, so you're on this roller coaster, which I understand. But my thing is like, okay, who's appointment viewing? Who's a, like, when Chris Sale and Pedro or you name whatever, it was always appointment viewing for me was always, you know, predicated on the pitcher. I'm going to see how the pitcher's going to do.
Pedro Martinez was the ultimate in appointment viewing in
Red
Sox history.
And I would say Chris Sale became that also. And, you know, and by default, David Price became that also just based on him being himself. So now.
Half the people wanted him to fail.
Yeah, exactly. But it was still appointment viewing. It was still, okay, let's, you know, we'll see what happens. So this year, I think you got some. I think Evaldi is appointment viewing right now.
Good luck.
Think he is. Now,
Hold on.
If he gets hurt, he gets hurt. He hates Evaldi.
Hate Evaldi.
You know what it is? He can't spell his last name.
He's still mad about the contract. He's still mad about the Mike Lowell Memorial contract, the thank you for your contributions to a World Series contract Dombrowski signed him to.
I'm not blaming him for the contract.
But Glenn, he's pounding the strike zone, and he's hitting 99.
How many starts is he going to end up getting? We all know what he is.
He's been burned too many times.
When he pitches well, he is good.
Okay, my point is.
The problem with him is he's not durable.
It is sunny and 66 outside, and Ordway has his umbrella 5 feet away from his hand. It's going to rain.
I'm a realist.
Stop it.
Sorry to disappoint you.
But the point is, like, even that alone is appointment viewing, because when is he going to blow up? Is he going to blow up? And when he does, how bad is it? I think it's all. I think just that alone,
he'll come up with an injury.
Even so,
and he'll go on
the Garoppolo syndrome. This is what it is.
You think so?
If Jimmy G comes back, of course the Patriots are going to go at least 12-5 and be a playoff caliber team because he's a much better quarterback and thrower of the ball than Cameron Jarrell Newton. However, when is he going to get hurt? When is Mr. Glass? When is old Sugar Glass going to fall? When is Mr. Chandelier going to break down again? Just be grateful for what you have when you have it. That's this whole town. Nobody can just appreciate somebody actually performing at or above expectations while you have them.
Listen, I'll be happy if you can get 25 starts out of Nathan Evaldi. I'm going with the under, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going with the under. I'm not sure you're going to be able to get anywhere close to 30 starts, and that's what they need. Our buddy Mike Lombardi is at it, and we all know that he always seems to have some inside information. He's giving us a little bit of hint here as to what his buddy Bill Belichick might be doing with quarterbacks in the first round of the draft. It is the Friday edition of OMF. Fitzy in today for Lou. We continue with the NFL draft. Dane Brugler of The Athletic will join us at 3 o'clock. And, of course, we close out every Friday with OMF Ups. And we'll get to the phone calls as well at 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Follow the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
There's not a stupid question. There's not a bad idea. And go.
Now back to OMF.
Cam Newton's got to play much better. Where are they with Jarrett Stidham? And can they trade up? I mean, if Mac Jones goes 3, which is what we all believe to be true, and he goes 3, then where does that all fit? You know, that means get to 4. Do they like Justin Fields? I don't think so. Do they like Trey Lance? I'm not sure. I don't know. You know, just knowing how they operate, I couldn't imagine that they could get either one of Lance and Fields to a high enough point to justify trading up to get him.
It's our buddy Mike Lombardi, FOB, friend of Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And when he speaks about the Patriots, there's usually some knowledge if he's really confident in his words. He was pretty confident in his words, wouldn't you say, right?
Yeah, he's never just opinionated. He's always informed. You know, it's like a Shefty. It's like a Shefty. When you give Shefty an opportunity to give his opinion on something, it's because he's given you pretty much the truth based on the fact that he has inside information. Lombardi's the same way.
Yeah, but
Shefty. That's just my opinion. But he's talking to Bill. You know he's talking to his son. This is not just some random, I did my own analysis and reading the tea leaves.
Well, the other thing, too, is how many times have you heard him say, I don't know what Bill's going to do. And suddenly, out of nowhere, they don't like Fields. I'm not sure about Nance.
Yeah.
Lance. Come on. He's not going to do that and say that if he's hearing something totally different out of Foxborough, because he will get the phone call. The hell are you talking about? We don't like Fields. What are you doing?
Okay, he knows. If just think about this. So Adam Schefter, who you just brought up a second ago, he relies on his two BlackBerries and his three iPhones to get information that is leaked to him from people inside the various organizations, scouts, agents, etc. But Mike Lombardi has two pipelines, two direct pipelines, his son and the fact that he is basically still kind of conciliary to Bill Belichick. You know, he loves making his Godfather and his Goodfellas references all night long.
And Green Berets.
Yes, and Green Berets.
And Springsteen
reference. Yeah. Oh, yeah, forgot about that.
And he goes home every night, and he uses a Sharpie, and he draws a big red X over Brad Foe's face for ever talking to him the way he did during the holidays. I understand. But Mike Lombardi has the intel. This isn't an Adam Schefter case where he's an insider. Like, Mike Lombardi has continued to be inside the Fokker family circle of trust, if you know what I mean. Like, so what he says is basically what he's allowed to leak out because Bill sort of wants him to leak it out, and at the same time, it's common knowledge in the family.
But we talk about it all the time because he's he constantly gives himself away. But he'll write Glenn, like, he'll change his opinion. Yep. He'll say one thing because he was all on board with Cam Newton. Next thing you know, he changed his opinion.
Yep.
So
Ordway?
It's like, I know. He got it from watching you. No. He was the
originator.
Nobody
changes it more than the guy sitting across from you right now.
He's the guy who invented it.
You stole my act. Right. That's what you did.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Look.
Glenn, I will proudly own the fact that A, I was the first to say Minshew. Screw you, Tangway. B, I came up with the phrase take snake alongside Rich Keefe, my former midday partner. And C, the ultimate. This program can be called Agree to Disagree. However, we can all agree on the fact that the ultimate take snake is Jermaine Wiggins.
Oh, no, well, no question about it.
Yeah,
no,
so let's be honest here, right?
By the way, he's a golf expert. We got that for you a little bit later on. I didn't know he was into golf.
All right, so where are we at with Lombardi?
So let me throw this one out at you, because Lombardi not only gives you that they don't like Fields, and he's not sure about Lance, but then he kind of gives you the inner workings of the Patriots and why they're not going to do something like move up for the quarterback.
You've got to be able to say, well, Lombardi says they don't like Fields and they don't like Lance. Well, that doesn't mean they don't like him. What I'm saying is they don't have him graded high enough to be able to justify drafting him at that point in the draft. To go in the first 15 players, let's just say you think Justin Fields is a 69 player. You grade him 69. That player has abilities and can create mismatches versus most opponents in the league. He's a featured player on the team, has the ability to impact the outcome of the game. No one player can take him out of the game. Each week he has a consistent level of performance, plays at a championship level in most situations, rates in the top 10 in the positions of his league. If you feel comfortable grading Justin Fields there, then okay, you could do that. I don't. I don't think he's going to be a top 10 quarterback in the league.
So what he's doing is he's giving you the inner workings of how the New England Patriots grade these guys. So he's not sitting there saying that these guys aren't going to make it, though he doesn't think that they will. What he's basically telling you is Bill's not going to make this move. The guy would have to be graded at the top of that position for Bill to move up and make that move. And I'm sorry Lou's not here today, but I hate to tell Lou, he is not moving up in the draft. He is more likely to move down or wait until the second and third round and draft someone like Kellen Mond or somebody like
that. So I look at this and I go, okay, so he's correct in regards to the Patriots, their grading system, their philosophy, what they like in a player, because everybody's different. So, all right, so that's the technical side. I sit there and I go, all right, but there's also a blood in the water mentality or that occurs when the draft starts. And people, GMs and coaches, and then owners get involved, start second guessing their decisions.
Not in New England.
So my point is that's true for them because they have a ton of discipline. They know who they are. The ownership doesn't jump in and try to change things at the last minute like a Dan Snyder would do with the Washington football team. They stay out of it,
Christian.
So they don't get caught up in that stuff.
So Lombardi knows from the correspondence he's had that these two guys, and that's why he's saying they don't like Fields and I'm not sure about Lance, because he knows that they're not grading either one of these players at the top of the chart. So he also knows how Belichick reacts to something like that, and Belichick is not going to sit there and say, screw value, I'm just in love with one of these guys. I don't care what our grades say. I'm just going to throw everything out there and go and get this guy. That's what he's telling you. And I think he's nailed it here. I think that's the way New England operates. And they're not going to move up for one of these quarterbacks.
They don't operate. First, they don't do anything like anybody else. And right now, everybody might be caught in one of the great misdirection, shell game, bait and switch, smokescreen seasons of all time. Bill's going to this pro day because he wants to throw you off the scent of this guy, but he's not really interested in that guy, but he wants to make somebody else trade up and take the guy that they thought Bill was or was not interested in the first place. We've heard stories about in their war room that their board sometimes has like a quarter or a third of the names and numbers that other teams do. Some teams Absolutely. Have like 200 guys, and Bill has like 25 guys he wants to draft, and that's it. So well, their valuation yeah. system is wildly different than everybody else's. And while Justin Fields possesses the athletic ability to be probably still the best quarterback on the Patriots and their fastest wide receiver at this point, he's not the kind of guy it seems that they love, and so I can't see them mortgaging half of their future for him.
No, you're right about the board, and I've had Bill Belichick, who's laughed at these so-called draftniks who are putting names up on a board, and Bill says that guy wasn't anywhere near where any of these guys are drafting him in his idea, in his mind, and that's why I think Lombardi's on to something here, because he knows that these two quarterbacks, the two remaining on the board after the first three are off the board, that neither one of these guys are high up on Belichick's okay. board, and he knows he's got knowledge of that.
Okay, so that's I agree with you on that point. So they're not need based. They're not a need based draft team. We need a quarterback. We need a quarterback desperately. Well, we got to get a quarterback. So are we going to get the quarterback that falls to us, or are we going to be aggressive and go up and get that quarterback? I don't think they are need based. They're talent based. That's why they draft up, and that's why people are always scratching their head with some of their draft picks, because where did this come from and where did that come from, and they don't even need this guy, and why they take two tight ends, and so it doesn't, or why they get in a guy so late in the draft or these undrafted guys. To me, that's who they are. So which is fine, because there's other teams that are flat out need based. Listen, we don't have a left tackle. We got to go out and get a left tackle.
They don't do that.
No, they don't.
And you're Cincinnati, and you need a left tackle, so you'll probably draft Joe Burrow's favorite receiver from LSU and get Joe Burrow killed.
We saw it 2 years ago when they needed a tight end, and apparently they didn't like anybody up on the board.
They just don't do it.
They desperately needed a tight end, and they passed on it.
And that's why I call Belichick the master of the draft zag. So last year,
do you own the rights to that?
It's on a T-shirt. The patent has been filed for you. He's fighting me for it. So you look at like last year. Okay, they definitely need a wide receiver, because look at what Tom had. Look at the flotsam and jetsam Tom dealt with in his final season in 2019, and the way Bill just threw money and trades around to try to get people to satisfy him. So what does he do? Two tight ends nobody thought should have been drafted in the third round. The previous year, you need Gronk's replacement. Going to definitely take Irv Smith Jr., right? No, let's take Nicole Harry, who nobody thinks is even a second-round wide receiver, at the 31st position. Like, he always does exactly what you think he shouldn't. So, Glenn, what is this year's biggest need? Quarterback, which is why he's going to take Stephon Gilmore's heir apparent or an offensive lineman.
Let me play one more Lombardi, and then we're going to get into hearing from some of the other people across the country who are talking about what they think the Patriots are going to do. But he's talking about understanding how they operate, how they think.
What you have to understand about the draft, I don't want you to think how I think, but I want you to understand how I think. That's really critical to separate the two things. This is where we get screwed up. We got two guys on TV, Mel and Todd, who do a really good job, and Daniel Jeremiah. They all do really good jobs. They're just telling you about their player. They're not telling you the process on how they think. They're telling you what they think. But when you're in that draft room, you have to understand how you think. It's different than what I think. And so when I say they can't trade up to get that, then I'm saying they can't put the verbiage next to the player that justifies it. Like if I gave him a 63 grade, he's a one-dimensional player that can do well, has certain skills to be productive in a role. He may never be a full-time starter. Okay, well, if you think Justin Fields is, okay, then you'd say, okay, a player that has the ability to be a starter but can't overcome some of the limitations. He's adequate at position, struggles to be a productive versus blue or top-level players, doesn't play on a consistent level. That doesn't mean he's not a good player. You're just describing this. And if you don't have verbiage next to this, you can't really justify it. Descriptions tell you what he is. That's why I think that's why it's hard for me to see them drafting quarterbacks like Fields or Lance or some of these other guys early, because they can't fit the description to justify trading for them.
He's speaking from knowledge. That's the inner workings of the New England Patriots, and that is why the Patriots are not going to move up and draft a quarterback. Are people pissed off about that? 617-779-7937. We'll hear some other so-called experts who think New England must move up to draft a quarterback. We'll do that next. Hi, back here on OMF. Fitzy in today for Lou Merlone. You just heard from Mike Lombardi, who seems to have a working knowledge of how the New England Patriots look at the draft board and look at players when we get to the draft. Now, if you take people outside of the organization or people who were once connected in the organization, they have a much different feel of all of this. So this is Dan Orlovsky.
The more I think about this, the more I don't understand how they don't go up into the first half of that draft, or first eight or nine in the draft. And I look at the NFC teams, because I don't think any AFC team is going to be stupid enough to go, here, guys, come on, here's this quarterback. You could take him and control the AFC again. So Detroit at 7, Carolina at 8. Dallas at 10 and the Giants at 11 as NFC teams that New England should be targeting to go get him. Because I just don't sit here and think, like, going into this season, again, Matt, you just mentioned the division with Josh Allen, Tua, and likely Zach Wilson. I don't understand how New England could sit there and feel comfortable about where, because all those guys are young. All those guys are sitting there going, we're the face of our division for the next 10 years. Forget the conference.
Here's where Orlovsky is missing the point. And I've heard a lot of fans say this, and a lot of even media people and hosts, talk show hosts in the city sit there and say, but they have to move up because they need a quarterback. Well, what's the guarantee that if you take one of those five quarterbacks and you're not going to get which the guy that most NFL people think is number one, number two, number three, and maybe number four, what's the chances that that guy is going to be good and actually is going to be one of those NFL quarterbacks that can compete with the other quarterbacks that Orlovsky just mentioned within the division? Because the history tells you that you're going to probably have one guy that's going to be great, another guy that's going to be pretty good, and three guys are going to be stiffs. They're going to be the Mariotas and the Jameis Winstons, and the second contract, they're going to be looking for backup quarterback jobs.
So I'm not sure, like, what is the question? Like, I don't follow you. Like, what do you mean? Like, I'm trying to follow you. Like,
Orlovsky's basically saying they need to get a quarterback to be able to stay with the teams within the division. And a lot of people are saying that. I don't care. They've got to go up and get a quarterback. No, they need to get a good quarterback. And if you don't believe that you can go
they
up
there
and
get quarterback.
A good quarterback. Who? Who's that?
They
Who's
do. That? They have a good quarterback.
Cam Newton?
They
stop.
Do. They have a good quarterback.
Just stop it.
Well, you know, here's my thing with Orlovsky.
He's sarcastic,
like,
too.
He doesn't quite get it. I don't think he gets it. I don't think he understands exactly how they work. And so Orlovsky would say, listen, Tua's young. The Jets are going to pick somebody. He's going to be young, talented, athletic. And we know what Josh Allen did in his 3 years. I mean, he's not going anywhere. They have to compete. They need to keep up. I don't think that matters to him. I think it's one of those things where they just won't force the issue. They just won't force the issue. They won't pull a stupid, desperate move based on need. They'd rather just say, you know what? We'll beat you in a different way. We'll just merge into whatever team we need to at that point in time based on the ingredients that we have. Yep. Hey, you want me to make a cake? I can't make a cake. Okay, well,
you
what can you
muffins?
Make?
Can you make muffins?
I can make muffins.
I like
can
scones.
Make, I can make 12, I can make scones also. I can make a variety of snacks, breakfast snacks for you, but I can't make a cake.
Gluten-free?
No, I can't make it gluten-free. Right. It's going to make you fat, and it'll probably give you a migraine. But the thing is, like, that's why these guys, they just don't get it. Like, that doesn't scare Bill. Josh Allen doesn't scare Bill. Tua doesn't scare Bill. Whoever they pick in New York is going to be seeing ghosts just like the last dude.
But they all seem to think that they've got to get this quarterback in this group of five. And again, unless if Lawrence were the guy and they had a shot at getting him, maybe Bill would move up. Maybe in that case, it would be worth it because he'd look at it and say, this is the next great quarterback. But to move up to get one of those five guys that they're not crazy about to begin with just to get a quarterback, what do you do there, Fitzy? Just do you satisfy Patriots Nation? Are the fan base satisfied if you get one of those guys?
If there's one thing we know about Bill Belichick, aside from the fact that he loves to show great disdain to the media and employ his children, it's that he loves paying fan service to and listening to his fan base. He absolutely is guided by the voices of Patriot Nation and the ferocious shouts of the Foxborough faithful.
Oh, yeah, I can confirm that.
Yeah, Thornton and I basically programmed the entire nation and all of their inner office workings. How do you think Thornton knew about Dominique Easley all the way back in 2014?
I can't wait to read it tomorrow.
You brought up earlier in the last segment, Glenn, you mentioned the whole thing about like a couple of years ago they needed tight end, they go wide receiver. And I said, yeah, last year they desperately need a wide receiver, they go double tight end that may not even make the team by 2022. He never takes exactly what you think they need. So everyone who's out there banging the drum saying, I'm tired of watching Cam Newton play skip ball to these guys. They got to find a way to get a real quarterback. They believe they've got two guys they can get out there and win double-digit games with after his Neiman Marcus shopping spree a couple weeks ago, and they're not going to make a priority or they're not going to mortgage the future of the draft just to placate a fan base that's on fire right now.
So my here's this. Okay, so there's lots of news, lots of information, lots of smoke screens. So which one of these guys, which one of these players is just going to be, is basically just a siren song, just coaxing the Patriots or other teams to kind of drift towards them, and it's really going to be a disaster. They're just going to crash into the rocks because they're believing the hype, and they're desperate. So they're going to sit there and just make a terrible decision. That's what the Patriots don't do. They don't get absorbed into that mentality. That's mm-hmm. why they just go they go wherever they want to see players. They go here, they go here. Well, that means this. This means that. No, it doesn't. They were just in the area. They want to see their buddies. They wanted to see – maybe there was a good restaurant there. They wanted to get away from their wives.
The last time that Bill was out on the draft trail – okay, well, that's probably a lot of truth to that. I find that unrelatable. Love you, dear. So last time that Bill was out on the draft trail, Glenn, was 2018. And the video that circulated the most of Bill working out a player was Bill working out Bradley Chubb. There was no chance in hell that he was going to be able to get up and take that D lineman who went very early at two and has made a great impact with Denver. But he loves the player because Bill loves the game, because Bill's a historian of the game and is enamored of talent. So right now, yeah, he might be scouting, but he's also just feeding the monster. He is gridiron Google. He is just accumulating more perspective and more knowledge. That's all he's out there doing now.
So I think the other part of it with him is he loves sitting down and finding out a little bit about these players,
right,
because he's going to compete against these players for the next 7 or 8 years. And so he's done an awful lot of that over the years. So here's another guy, Jason Luckenfor, CBS, doing the same thing, talking about the Patriots and how they have to move up to get Justin Fields.
If Fields gets outside of the top six or seven, I think they'll pounce. I think within reason they'll pounce. I could see them being really, really infatuated with that kid. I know a lot of people were infatuated with that kid. And if for whatever reason, market forces and narratives and, you know, things align to where he becomes the one who falls, then I think they'll move up to catch his fall. But I remember hearing a lot of the same stuff about Tua a year ago, you know, and oh my God, like if the Dolphins don't take him, you know, where does he go? There's not a landing spot until, you know, 18 or something like that. And, you know, he ends up going top five.
Oh, it might have been. The Dolphins did take him, right? So they did take him.
No, they did. Justin Fields is interesting to me because he's completely opposite of everything you've ever had. Like right now, your starting quarterback is basically an older version of Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. Like a bigger, older version of Justin Fields.
It's almost like the quarterback you have now did a QB camp and the Ohio State kid went to the QB camp and he talked about him on camera.
I didn't see that.
It's almost like he's on camera talking about how
good he is. There was a lot of guys.
Free agent.
Yeah. Who was the other guy? They're the receiver here. I can't remember his name. He was also
Jacoby Myers.
Jacoby Myers was another guy that went to his camp. They're all enamored by him. But I do think that if the next guy they get, I just don't think it's going to be a drop back, old school pro style quarterback. I think there is a desire to get some speed, to get some athleticism, to get some arm strength with the same ability to kind of diagnose. I mean, you got to be smart. I mean, you can't even get into the conversation if you're stupid. But can you imagine? Because I look at Bill and I'm like, you're laughing. I don't know. What did I say? Is this an OMF up?
You said you can't get into the conversation if you're stupid. And I was going to say, well, that hasn't stopped a lot of us here before.
Yeah, that's just true. Well, that's different. This is a different arena.
All right.
That helps. So I totally lost what I was going to say.
Sorry.
Can you imagine? So Bill's been actually running one way of offense because he's had to.
Because
he's had no choice because of the quarterback. So everything starts there and you build it out.
All changed this past year though, didn't it?
And so I feel like he got a little taste.
Maybe.
You know, slower version of it, but I do think that's like, wow, I mean, we can do this and we can do that and this guy can run and now instead of like trying to figure out ways how to stop other quarterbacks from doing that, I can have my quarterback do it.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that there's this whole nother playbook that we haven't even tapped into because we've never ever had the quarterback to do it. I would just see Josh McDaniels, please, Daddy, please, 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 give me the new bike, give it to me.
I think there's probably something to that, but when you hear Lombardi basically come out and say they don't like Justin Fields, he's getting that somewhere. That is not just being made up. The one thing we can tell you about Mike Lombardi over the years is that he does have an idea of what New England's doing. Even if they don't tell him, he has an idea because he understands their mentality and how they approach stuff. Here's another guy, Matt Miller, NFL Live. What do the Patriots have to do? Oh, they got to trade up and get a quarterback.
Yeah, I think they have to, or they should at least. Like you said, they have 10 draft picks. And let's be honest, I'll say what no one else will. The Patriots aren't that good at drafting anyway, especially in the first round, with the exception of Damian Woody. They haven't exactly hit on those picks. Yeah. You have to go back to 2012 to really find the last hit the Patriots had in the first round. So why not trade a couple picks to get your Justin Fields or Trey Lance? If Cam Newton is the prototype for what Josh McDaniels' offense is going to look like moving forward, then go get that type of quarterback. But get them at 22 years old with 4.4 speed and an arm to make every throw. Cam Newton could be a mentor for a year, and then you unleash Justin Fields on the rest of this division, which is very quickly pulling away from you, Bill Belichick. So if they want to create another Super Bowl window, it's time to stop going to the veteran quarterbacks. It's time to trade up. You might have to go up to 8 with Carolina to get ahead of the Denver Broncos, but I think it's worth it to do that on draft day if we see one of these quarterbacks start to slip down the board just a little bit.
Again, I don't think he understands how the Patriots operate, and I would ask this question to all of these guys. Do they really believe just because we're going to have 5 quarterbacks maybe go in the first 8 picks of this year's draft, that do they really believe that all 5 of these quarterbacks 5 years from now are going to be top-notch quarterbacks in the National Football League? Because all you have to do is look at the history of the draft and how it portends to quarterbacks 2, 3, 4, 5 years out. We can go through the list of top draft picks. How about Goff? I mean, look at where he went in the draft, and he's already been traded mainly because the team looked at him and said, he can't get us to where we need to be. I mean, this happens time and time again.
And even if you force the issue, so let's force the issue. You're not taking the 1 spot, you're not taking the 2 spot, and you're not taking the 3 spot. Okay, so who wants to do business with you? You think the Atlanta Falcons want to do business with you? You think they have their eyes on somebody and they think he's going to be back, be available in the 15th spot? It's not like they have a new coach. They have a new GM. I mean, they have a quarterback that's on his way out. I mean, so they need to take advantage of their offensive weapons and their window themselves.
They have a wish list and a need list themselves. And what's the impetus for the Falcons to say, you know what, why don't we help out the team that embarrassed us and forever put us in the hole of misery, the Sarlacc pit years ago with 28-3? Let's help Belichick get his quarterback of the future. Even if the Patriots were to give them 2 1s, a 2 and a 4 and swap picks like that in the first round, when Atlanta can stay there, take the player they want for Arthur Smith's play-action-based offense, which I know Shime and John Anderson have been enamored of for years. I mean, he did create the Tannissance. If he's going to bring life back to Matt Ryan, who they probably have to start for the next 2 years and still has life in his legs and his arm,
why would they have to because that dead money issue
is wicked. Why wouldn't they take a Kyle Pitts? Why wouldn't you? You have a generational talent. You have a better version of Travis Kelce staring you in the face. Why wouldn't you add him to Julio and Ridley and Hayden Hurst and then just say, everybody, Sunday, It's going to be 44 us, and how many points are you going to score? That's what the Falcons are probably going to do. So then, Christian, five, they go Jamar Chase or Sewell to the Cincinnati Bengals. At six, probably a wide receiver to the Miami Dolphins, unless somebody offers them an insane trade to jump up like Denver, because Denver's now in play. So it's either the Dolphins swapping out with Denver to get Fields or the Lions pick. That's
so think about it. In order to get the quarterback that you would that would be left over,
mm-hmm.
one, you I think it's a crapshoot. Like it's gonna you don't
correct.
He could be you know it's like you can't you know sleep at night because it's not a sure thing. It's not that chart where it says this guy is worth it. This guy can beat one-on-one matchup. This guy mm-hmm. is a difference maker. He's always competitive. He's going to keep you in the game no matter what. Then I don't know if you have the assets to do it. So you want to move all the way up to four. Let's just assume the Atlanta Falcons are over it. They've mm-hmm. gotten over the whole 28-3, and then they're willing to be friends right. with you now. Because that's what you assume is like the issue with them.
Got
to
stay.
I'm not going to give them anything else. We already gave them a Super Bowl. Like, what would that cost you?
A fortune.
It's going to cost you. Peter Schrager.
So,
Peter Schrager said it's going to cost you a 1, a 1, a 2, and a 4.
Okay, so let's give all that up for a guy that is not even. You have no clue if he's going to be great or not. It's too rich for my blood.
And I said the same yesterday, Christian. And you would think I said to people, I know where the Spygate tapes are, or like, hey guys, Fitzy has been a long ruse. I'm secretly a Jets fan. I swear to God. Pats fans don't want to hear it that the Patriots are probably not going to trade up, that they're going to continue to do because
that's it.
Because it's been an uncharacteristically aggressive offseason and people are still riding the high. That first 22 and a half hours, Jonnu Smith, Bourne, Aguilar, the next morning, Hunter Henry, we were all like, oh, give me more. Just main vein. I rub my teeth in it. It was so good, you couldn't get enough. Oh, man, I'm breakdancing for all these Pats, all these free agent signings. Guess what? It's done. That part of the offseason is over. They are going back to business. Their owner told them, you got to draft better. Bill Belichick knows.
Well, hold on. Okay, so I agree with all that stuff. So there may be this residual like effect. Like you're not completely passed out and but you're still kind of buzzed a little bit, and you think that, mm-hmm. you know, the next place you go to will be a good party.
You're chasing that high.
You're chasing it, right? Okay, so why wouldn't you believe? So you read into the Kraft comments as, okay, only free agency. So but why wouldn't it be part of their draft philosophy? Does it mean just, hey, be better at drafting or be more aggressive and go get the guy you want? I won't hold you accountable for it.
Bill told him, hey, because we have this weird set of circumstances where only like four teams have money, and we are flush with cash this one offseason, I'm going to go buy a team. It's not the way we usually do business. Missed on a couple draft picks, in case you haven't noticed. And I'm going to go buy us a team. I'm going to buy us competitive relevance, and I'm going to get us back in the division. At that point, once I get us back in, thank you very much for writing the checks, RKK. You got to let me go back to doing business the way that I did it before. And I promise you, I'll get a quarterback. There's other people that can throw the football just because they don't have the hype reels and the 65-yard crossbody Mahomesian throws. Other guys can still play. Who knows who Bill wants to pick, but he's not going to spend half the draft for it.
I think there's a difference between being uncharacteristically aggressive in going out and paying NFL players that you have a whole book on, and you've seen them against other NFL players. Right now, you're asking them to sit there and evaluate quarterbacks. The fourth and fifth quarterback, one of them who's hardly played, and the few games he's played against, none of those guys are really going to be playing in the National Football League. So it makes no sense to be uncharacteristically stupid. They have a better shot of maybe striking gold if they've done a lot of homework and get a guy in the second, third, or fourth round that might because it's low, you know, you're not giving up much. The value is tremendous if the guy turns out to be a good quarterback. I think you're right, Fitzy. I also think it's they don't want to see Cam Newton back here again.
No.
But do you really believe if Bill drafts any one of these kids that you're going to see the kid play this year or next year?
No.
I don't.
No.
I don't.
Justin Fields, if they are uncharacteristically aggressive well into the draft, Fields sits behind Cam Newton. If it's Davis Mills, he sits behind Cam Newton or competes with Stidham. If it's Jamie Newman, he sits behind Cam Newton. If it's Kellen Mond, he sits behind Cam Newton. They have invested at least backup money in Cam Newton because he's the break in case of emergency / QB floor
But that would be the way with the first rounders too.
And I think that they truly do. There is some belief. You even heard Robert Kraft talk about it last week that they don't feel like they surrounded Cam or even Stidham with the proper arsenal, with the proper weaponry last year. So maybe they deserve a shot at it.
It was horrible.
That is true, but I don't think fans feel that adding all of these receivers and tight ends is actually going to do any good for Cam Newton. And I still think it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo. I thoroughly believe that Bill Belichick is just going to wait it out, and he's going to look at San Francisco, and apparently they were in on the Sam Darnold. Why were they in on Sam Darnold? They just added another quarterback onto their depth chart. But they were in on the Sam Darnold thing. Why are you in on the Sam Darnold thing if you really want Jimmy Garoppolo? So I still think it's going to be Garoppolo in the end. But I think people are going to be disappointed. I just don't. And after I heard this whole Lombardi podcast and listening to that, he knows far too much. He knows exactly what is going on with this team. And he's looking at it saying there is no freaking way that New England is going to do that based on his intel and the way that they operate. This hour of OMF brought to you by Window World of Boston. Call 1-800-NEXT-WIN or online at windowworldofboston.com. Well, every week we've been running down exactly what is going on with the NFL draft. Why? Because we actually care in New England this year. So coming up next, we'll talk with Dane Brugler of The Athletic and find out who he sees as a possible New England Patriot player.